It is Pentecost Sunday. Flames as of tongues, as of tongues of fire descended upon each of them and gave them utterance. How many of you are feeling tongues of fire giving you utterance? Well, try and instill some more of that in you. They're there, whether we acknowledge them. And in there, I'm going to talk about why those tongues of fire are there. Have you ever wondered if something is the right thing to do or the wrong thing? I remember growing up sitting in the pews, as you are now, before any hint of ministry. And one of the questions was, should we be pursuing nuclear energy? My father's a mining engineer, uranium lands. And here is an energy source that might be not only renewable, but life-giving. But there were some issues around that, and certainly there are dangers around the misuse of nuclear energy. So I wanted to know, so I thought, I'll dig into the Bible. I'm sure Jesus told us something about nuclear energy. It isn't in there. Nuts. So how do we determine something when it isn't necessarily clear? And so I thought, well, we must know innately. My gut should be a good indicator. I can tell him, are you like that? You look at something, kind of your gut reaction, you just know. There's a Calvin and Hobbes. How many of you are familiar with Calvin and Hobbes? It's a comic in the newspaper. If you are not, take time to follow. I don't think it's still in being produced, but it's still in syndication. But young man with a tiger, and he's quite precocious, and he decides he's going to make money by going and saying, I will eat a worm for a nickel. You pay me a nickel and I will eat a worm. So he's there with one of the other characters and he's preparing to cash in, but that means that he has to eat the worm, you see. Fortunately, Mother intervenes right at the last moment and there is no worm eating, but there is no nickel paying either. But doesn't your gut, if you really ask yourself, is it okay to eat worms? Just doesn't seem right, does it? It's just not there in the list of things to do. Eating creepy crawlers is not my list of things. It seems wrong. And then I read about these fancy restaurants. They're offering chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Do they have chocolate-covered grasshoppers in Tonga? No. I thought I better check. I'm sure they have some things that are different. Neil says yes? I don't doubt that Neo's been eating grasshoppers. It might be the case. I understand now that IKEA, how many of you know of IKEA? They're offering now meatballs that are made out of bugs. I don't know what kind of bugs or how that's all put together, and my gut reaction is this is not good, but I understand those who've tasted it say it tastes wonderful, just like your regular meatballs, and it is healthier for the planet than making them out of beef. Someday we may come to the time when that's perfectly natural. I know that if you ride the high-speed train in Japan, and I cannot for the life of me come up with the name of it right off the top of my head, but you can buy an online or an on-train lunch. Many of the traveling businessmen buy a little box lunch. It's raw fish heads and rice. I'm not sure how good that would go over for us in our Western culture. Lucy, how about raw fish heads? Do Tongans eat raw fish heads? Yes, okay, see, there you go. But for them, it's quite a good lunch, and it might be very healthy and good for us, too. My gut reaction is I would probably go hungry, but I'm a little finicky in it. So gut reaction, what I'm trying to point out to you is that gut reaction may be partially instilled in us, things that we are taught and learned. You recall that as a good Jew, according to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, that there were unclean foods. Do you remember those? You've heard of those? Here are some of the foods you could not eat. Pork, rabbit, clams, crab, oyster, lobster, Any of you like lobster? Shrimp? All of those foods were not okay. So what must it have been like on that day when Simon Peter was hungry and he was up on the roof and he was kind of dazed, and the Lord spoke to him in a dream, and he brought down a blanket full of all of the unclean foods, and he told Simon Peter, "Take, eat." And Simon Peter said, "My gut tells me no. I've learned since I was a wee lad that these are foods that are not good for you. I've been taught that. I know these are not okay." And God said, "What I have made clean cannot be called unclean." Do you recall? And it was that transitioning from unclean foods into a different culture, a culture of inclusion, that was part of the Christian journey. So right and wrong and clean and unclean, and gut reaction. Gut may come out of how you've been trained. I grew up with the common culture, and there are lots of different things in the culture that teach you how to be. For example, have you ever heard, "I don't get mad, I get even"? That's a common saying. There's a lot of people that have that as their maximum, live that way. Or an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That seems pretty logical. It seems straightforward. And here comes Jesus, and he points out that the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, not yours." None of us get to exact revenge, vengeance. That belongs to God alone. And in fact, Christ said, "Turn the other cheek." And if someone defrauds you, someone mistreats you, should you forgive them? Big debate about that. And Jesus said, not 7 times, but 77, or 7 times 70 times, over and over again. And then we have to ask the question, when is it enabling? When is it biblically correct? So there are questions. But the gut reaction might be in conflict with this Christian teaching. Do you understand some of what I'm saying there? Some of this is instilled in us by culture, by what we've been taught and how we are to be. So truth can be any number of things. But here now, on this Pentecost Sunday, Jesus said, "I will not leave you destitute." If he were here now, I would ask him some of these questions. What about some of these people that we're forgiving and they continue to err because they're not being held accountable? When is there a way to grow them with tough love as opposed to turning your cheek 7 times 70 7 times? Jesus would have a good answer. I'd love to hear that. Or what about nuclear energy? I'm sure that if we gathered all of us and voted, we'd have differing opinions and reactions. What would Jesus say? What would he do? How would he teach us? How would he lead us? And yet, gone from here, but he said, "I will not leave you destitute. I will not leave you unable to answer those questions. For I will leave you the paraclete." That's the term. Nobody knew what it meant, really. The disciples are looking at each other and wondering. So God translated the Holy Ghost. The early church referred to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. It is all of those things, and it gets translated to all of those, and all of them mean the same thing. It is God within us, and it is those tongues as of fire that have descended upon us, that is the Holy Spirit that puts truth within us. The truth through Jesus Christ. So instead of gut, we can turn to this truth. What is truth and where is truth? And truth speaks to all of God's people. It's important to hear that. The Acts passage that Deb read, some of you are familiar with it, Acts 2. The Spirit descended upon all of them and gave them utterance. And then it goes into a paragraph that is every lectionary reader's nightmare. I didn't make Deb read it. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking God's deeds of power to us. Here's all these people. Now, why would they list that odd list? How many of you knew all of the places named on there? I tried to look them up once, and you get lost because some of those don't really exist in that way anymore. But in that day and age, you would have understood that they were talking about every nation, every place. How would we phrase that today? Residents of Asia and Japan and New Zealand, Australia, Tonga, Samoa, Peru, Chile, Colombia, Panama. You just got back from Panama. Canada, Iceland, Russia, Europe, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, all of these, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, India, all of these nations, and all of them hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to them in their own native language. I can only manage one language, and I'm barely doing that, you know, minimally. Try my best. But hear the Spirit speaking, not just speaking, but in every language that you hear best in, natively, with your own native tongue, the tongue that's familiar to you, that Spirit speaking to us and speaking to all of God's children. And speaking the good news of Jesus Christ, amen? The good news that there is truth, truth beyond social influences, cultural influences, traditional biases, truth beyond instilled fears. When we were in Haiti, I led a mission team there in 1990. We were in Haiti, and you've heard about the boogeyman. All of you were raised with the boogeyman. I don't know if they have a boogeyman in Tonga. We'll have to think about that. But in Haiti, the boogeyman was real. They were the Tonton Macoutes. Translates to boogeyman. But they were the government's army. They would come at night and take you, and you'd never be seen again. They were very real. So there was very real fear there. So when we say the boogeyman and laugh and shake our hands, in Haiti, they did not. So there are cultural or instilled beliefs and truths and untruths. And the Holy Spirit is beyond all of those. And the Holy Spirit refines all of those. And the Holy Spirit brings us the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it is a struggle beyond there to listen and obey. Sometimes we hear the word and we understand what the word says and the directions that it gives us, and we say, that's kind of tough. I don't know how to do that. I can't quite love my neighbor that's been doing these things, nasty things to me. How do we love that particular neighbor? How do we do all of these things Jesus calls us? But that Spirit of truth will help us find ways. And in that way, the Spirit of truth sets us free. Sets us free from those anxieties and those fears and those doubts with truth. So the point of the sermon is that the Holy Spirit gives us truth, truth that guides us on that roadmap that will lead us into the kingdom of God, for whom we give thanks. Amen. Amen.